Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Father, we thank you. God, thank you that even when many other things are happening this morning, Lord, there's so much these days, Lord, that is going on a Sunday morning, Lord, and we thank you that we can choose to be here in your presence, Lord, that we can choose to be with family in Christ, that we can choose to say, Lord, this is important to us, Lord, and we want to meet together to worship you, Lord. We want to meet together to hear your word, and we want to meet together so that your kingdom can come through us as a body corporately. So we thank you for this time, and we consecrate it unto you, Lord. And we ask that your name be glorified in our midst, God, that your kingdom will come in us, Lord, and through us this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, great. Let's have a look. I want to start with Psalm 23, just a part of it. One. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is, you know, the very well-known psalm, probably one of the most well-known ones, and one of my favorites. It's interesting how when you look at scripture, I'm distracting myself now. It's how when you hear different people with different giftings talk about scripture, it's interesting how different points of view come out, but also different, you know, ways of imagining it. And I knew this guy who was into filmmaking, and he believed that the Lord had called him to make a film about the life of David. And he, at one stage, he explained to us how he would do it, just in a few sentences. But it's just amazing how somebody that's gifted in that way can just in a few sentences, describe something. And I was really excited about it. So what he said, he would use Psalm 23 for the trailer, for the preview. You know, and then he would take snippets of David's life out of it, because it talks about, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it talks about how the Lord walks with him, and he would use that for the trailer. Yeah, it was like, oh, cool, it sounds amazing. You know, in any case, but this picture of the Lord our shepherd bringing us and leading us into green pastures and still waters, and bringing us to a place where he restores our souls. Such a powerful picture of the shepherd recognizing and understanding the needs and the what the sheep need, and then leading the sheep to a place of where they find what they need, whether it's nourishment, whether it's refreshment, whether it's water or food, the pastures, the waters, the rest, the restoration. So this is a powerful picture of God our shepherd leading us to what we need in exactly the right season. And it speaks about leading. Some of you may know this, but in the Middle East, the shepherds there don't operate like we do here. Have you ever worked with sheep? Or maybe it's just the South African sheep, but I don't know, guys. When I look at the sheep, I know from growing up, being compared to sheep is not a compliment. Okay, I don't know why the Lord has chosen to do this, but seriously. Growing up, we had a couple of sheep for a while, and I was at one stage had to put them where they needed to be, and it was just very difficult to keep them all together. I didn't have one of those clever dogs to help me. But in the Middle East, it works completely different. There's no chasing going on. There's no herding going on. There's a shepherd, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and the sheep follow their shepherd, even amongst other shepherds and other flocks. The sheep know to follow their shepherd because they hear his voice and they follow him. So the shepherd would sing or talk or do something that the sheep can hear his voice and then the sheep would follow. That's why it speaks about leading and not chasing. He doesn't chase us or herd us to the still waters. Amen. But such a powerful picture. But what I want to talk about this morning, yes, we recognize this picture and we see the place of restoration. We see the place of refreshing. We see the place of nourishment. We see the place of peace and comfort. But what I want to talk about is the path that leads to that place and how. And this is something that God is maybe still kind of speaking to me about, but how he takes us through some things to be able to bring us to the place of refreshing. He takes us past some other bits and sometimes difficult parts so that we can come to a place of refreshing, so that we can come to a place of restoration, so that we can actually come to a place where he says here, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So let's look at that. Let's quickly look at Acts chapter 3 from verse 19. As far as I remember, it's Peter speaking here. He says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Why? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And this is one of the key things that God leads us through for us to actually be able to come to a place where times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And it's interesting how I don't know about you, maybe it's something to do with how we relate to a father figure, and that's probably different to all of us in terms of the way we grew up with. And I just want to maybe mention that if you've had a particularly difficult or challenging relationship with your father or a father figure, then be aware that would influence the way you relate to our Father God. And it's something to really trust God to bring restoration in, trust God to bring healing into. But I don't know, personally, I'm by nature somebody that wants to avoid conflict. And sometimes, you know, coming to a place of actually recognizing that there's a problem and recognizing that we need to resolve something, and then I am in need of repentance. This is probably not something you struggle with, but you know, there's a part of me that wants to avoid that space. Okay, there's a part of me that wants to avoid that because of that conflict part, that part of recognizing, I've missed the mark, I've fallen short, and that point of actually, you know, okay, yes, Lord, I'm not measuring up, and I need to repent. Change. Are you with me this morning? There's a part of us that wants to avoid that place. So it's a bit of a contradiction, or it seems to be a bit of a contradiction, in our nature, we want to avoid that place of conflict. We want to avoid that place of correction. I don't know if you can you remember as a young child, that place where you think you got away with something, and then you get caught out, you know, maybe like. Or sometimes in the while you're busy with your thing that you thought you were very smart to conceal, and then you know you get caught out. It's funny how now, as a parent, you think about it differently. It's hilarious how children think they can get away with stuff. It's really shame, but especially when they're really small. Like Abigail, she was probably 2 or something, and I think we hadn't had like chocolate spread in the house forever. So she didn't really know what it is, and then this is the first time she was introduced to just chocolate spread, and she tasted a bit of it. And at that stage, I was saying to her, "No, you can only have sugar when you're 18," type of thing, you know. But that didn't last very long. But in any case, I remember her just disappearing, and then I was looking for her, and then. I was calling her, and she was just quiet, and that's never a good sign. You know? And then I found her, she came out after a while, and she had chocolate around her mouth. So I said to her, you know, what have you been doing? And she says, no, it's nothing, you know, she's been playing. And then, but she was really tiny, she could barely speak properly. And then I was looking for the chocolate spread, it was gone. And then, in any case, I found it was under the table, under the dining room table, and she'd actually been sitting there, you know, hiding and thinking that I wouldn't notice that it's there and thinking that nobody would know and she wouldn't tell me. Anyways, it was a long story, but we managed to sort it out. But, you know, there's a place where we want to just pretend like everything is fine and I can continue the way that I want to continue, hiding stuff maybe from God or from others. But actually, deep down, we know that He knows and that He wants us to walk free. And He wants us to walk. He doesn't continue in the way we are. He wants us to go through the difficult part of repentance so that we can come to times of refreshing, so that we can come to times of unburdening and times of so that we can walk free of those things that keep us bound. Amen. So I just want to look at a few things around this. The word repentance in the scriptures is the word in the Greek is the word metanoia, and it's a very interesting word. It's one that it refers to a change of mind. It refers to a change of how you think about something. It's you can also call it a mind shift about something. It's the same word from which we derive the word metamorphosis, which is for me very a good way to describe repentance, because there is a transformation that has to happen, right? The metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You know, there is a metamorphosis, a complete transformation that happens when we are walking in one way and we recognize that this is not the way God wants me to go. You know, there's that moment of conviction. And then there's the choice. Am I going to ignore the conviction? Or am I going to metanoia? Am I going to change the way I think about this thing? Am I going to change the way, change my mind about it? I may have been thinking about this my whole life in the same way, thinking this is 100% fine. And then one day the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits me about this specific thing and I recognize God wants me to do this differently. And there, in that moment where I decide, where I choose to say, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry, I've been going about this the wrong way. I choose life. I choose to turn 180 degrees. Remember, not 360. Okay, people get confused with these things. 180 is enough. Turn 180. I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm choosing to change my way of thinking about this to what you describe, what you want me to do, and I'm choosing to go in a new direction. And this is not only with regards to our salvation, and this is one of the things about repentance. Repentance, maybe this is bad news for you, but the repentance is an ongoing thing. In fact, probably a daily thing, a thing of recognizing something that I have been thinking about, something that I've been living, that Holy Spirit convicts me of, and then I realize, wow, this has to change. And now, as believers, often the most important and most crucial place of repentance is when we recognize that we need the saving grace of God through the blood of Jesus. Okay, when we recognize that I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I need to change. I need to turn around. I need to follow Jesus. I need Him to save me. I cannot do it on my own. And that place where we choose to turn around, that place where we choose to take His gift of salvation is the moment when we are born again. And so not only that, but I've actually noticed that even you may find yourself walking a road with God for a number of years, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit would convict you of something that you haven't thought about, that has never bothered you before, but suddenly there's a conviction about something, and you know, oh my goodness, this is not pleasing to God. I have to change. And this is why it's so important that when you're on the other side of the coin, when you are discipling somebody, and this is something I am so guilty of, specifically my younger days as a Christian, wanting to see my friends come to Jesus, but only wanted to address all the sins, you know, that I could see, you know, the drinking and the smoking, and I just, you know, let's just sort out this stuff. And then God would say, no, I'm not busy with this stuff now. I'm busy with something else. And that would kind of freak me out. And we often, we look what's on the surface. We look at what the fruit that's coming out, and we want to address all the fruit, and that's why we get so sin conscious, and people get freaked out around us. But God is working on something else. Maybe working on their, wanting to them to find their identity in Christ, wanting them to make those crucial foundational changes in terms of following Him. And those other things will kind of come. So I've noticed that when I'm walking a road with somebody and when I'm discipling somebody, not to just address all the tick boxes of the fruit of what at the root, but to say, Lord, what are you busy with in this person's life? What are you wanting to address right now? And obviously salvation is at the core and one of the foundational ones. Okay, so there's this process, and there's a continual process, and the change of the way we think, the change of mind, the change of heart around it, then obviously leads to the change of action. I change the way I believe about something. Somebody I know years ago, one of the first pastors I knew in Shofar, he was a very, very, you know, bold, confident guy, comes across really strongly. He would say, if he realizes that he disagrees with God, because that sometimes happens, you know, we disagree with God. Has it ever happened to you? with a shock, he'd realize, oh my goodness, I'm disagreeing with God on this one. I'm reading something in Scripture here, and this is a bit of a shock to me. Then he said, you know what I do? I just repent, and I keep repenting until I agree with God. And then nobody can tell me otherwise. You know? But then, you're just talking from a point of view of, you know, kind of arguing with somebody or having a misunderstanding with somebody, and then say, listen, I'm agreeing with God on this, so you need to change. I'm not going to change because I'm right, type of thing. But this is exactly what happens. We recognize that, wow, I've been operating in some way, Scripture is telling me something else, or Holy Spirit is convicting me of a better way, or of a godly way, and I need to make a change. This weekend we were actually I'm running ahead of myself. Let's finish this first. Okay, in terms of how this happens, I've found in any point where conviction operates, when conviction comes, I can't delay too much. I don't know about you, but if I'm convicted of God, Lord wanting me to do something, or wanting me to, obviously I'm not talking about something that is a prolonged process, but even in the case like that, to start sooner the better. Even if it means God is calling you to do something or to study something or to, you know, go in a certain direction, then start by making the preparations for that thing. I found that the more I think about it, the more I try and figure it out before starting to move in obedience, the more the chances are that I'm not going to be able to really be obedient to the point that I really want to be. And I found specifically around sowing, maybe this is probably not something you struggle with, but if God tells me to sow something, like years ago, I remember I had a really nice bicycle, like a mountain bike. Just trust me on this, it was really nice. And at that point, one of the lightest ones on the market, which is important. And any case, I was really enjoying this bike, and then the conviction hit me the one morning I had to give this bike to somebody. And I remember Adnan and I were just started going out at that stage, started dating, and she was completely astonished because this is my mode of transport as well at that point. I didn't have any other mode of transport, and she just heard one day I said, I feel God saying this, and the next day the bike was gone, and she was like, what did you do, type of thing. And I said, well, and I remember just knowing that if I had spent more time, if I was like, no, let me pray and fast about this, or let me try and figure it out, then chances are I would probably think, no, you know what, I really need this bicycle. And so there's a place of when that conviction hits, to move quickly, to respond to that conviction, to not to delay, do it as quickly as you can. And like I said, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we do often. It's something I believe we do daily. Repentance, changing our mind about stuff. And the other thing about, like I said, when God convicts me to sow something, or when God convicts me to repent, and specifically towards others, okay, this is where the difficult part comes in, is when God calls us to repent of something where somebody else is involved. Now, this is, gets tough, guys, because often there's a place where we need to go and repent towards somebody else. Okay, now this is maybe the harder part, because now it's not just me and God, and you know, I'm repenting towards God, but now it's also somebody else that has been affected by something that I've done, or the way I've done something in the past, and I need to go and make restitution. I need to go and repent towards somebody. Have you been there? And again, it's better to do it quickly rather than slowly. Don't think about it too much. You might find yourself changing your mind. So pray about how you should do it. Pray about, you know, in what form. Maybe the person isn't close. Maybe it's going to be a letter or an email or something. But pray about how God wants you to do it, and do it. Amen. Just do it. So we do it often as a lifestyle. We do it quickly. And in one, another aspect that's really powerful is when we walk in repentance in the light. When we have a place, and this is often where the real breakthrough comes, is when we take the hand of a brother or a sister next to us and say, listen, God is convicting me of this thing. It's a cycle in my life, and I need you to walk this road with me. So I repent before a brother or a sister of something, and then I ask them to hold me accountable to that thing. Okay, it's really quiet now. But guys, the power of many sins are in the fact that it's just me. It's just me and God and the devil that know about this. And I want to keep it that way. And that is one of the biggest things that keep us from repentance and from that freedom, is that pride that wants nobody to know. Let's just have a look. I'm just going to see. Skip here. Let's have a look at Psalm 19 for a moment, and then we'll go on from there. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. So it again refers to the refreshing, even where it seems to contradict, because it speaks about a law, but then it speaks about a refreshing. So there's a place where we look at Scripture. This is something that came up this week, and we're talking about discipling people, and this is very true in terms of discipling children as well. When you teach, when you want somebody to learn how to read Scripture, one of the things that we trust for right at the beginning is for us to come into a lifestyle of reading Scripture, not just for like, wow, this is cool, maybe something I can put on Facebook or text somebody, but where we read Scripture and there is a conviction, and the reading of Scripture actually leads to a change of action, or a action. Are you with me? So we read Scripture not only to think, wow, this is a cool story, or wow, this is a great miracle Jesus did, but to a point where the Scripture convicts us of something, and out of Scripture we take something that we actually go and do. Are you with me? So the application of Scripture as a lifestyle. It speaks here of the law being perfect, and it also being refreshing to the soul. Let's go on. Just to what I was saying now. Okay, let's go on to the next scripture, then I'll come back to Romans. Next one. You're going to have to focus for a moment. Okay, James. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives gives grace to the humble. So that pride that keeps wanting us to keep that thing in secret is often the thing that keeps us from walking free from what God wants us to unload. Are you with me this morning? That place of, I want to keep this silent. I don't want anybody to know about this. There's the shame aspect. There's a guilt aspect, yes. But the pride is the big one. You know what happens there? is there's a place where I think there's a bit of a rationalization going on. Maybe this isn't so bad. You know, in the bigger scheme of things, this is not such a bad thing. And we try and get our justify ourselves around something that we have been convicted around. But we try and find a way that we can actually live with this thing without changing. And what it is actually, it's a place of pride where we say, maybe it's to do with the vulnerability that comes with the repentance. Maybe it's to do with the place where I say, okay, Lord, I'm laying myself down at your feet, not my will, but your will be done. That place where we relinquish control and we say, God, I know I'm doing this wrong. I want to do things the way you want. I want your will to be done. Maybe it's that. But there's a place where we say, I prefer to serve God on my own terms. I'll make it a bit better, but I'll repent only this much, and I won't repent towards somebody else. You know, I'll just repent to this measure because this is where I'm comfortable. Does that sound familiar? No, you guys probably don't struggle with this. But then I want to continue in this way because this is what I'm comfortable with, and I want to be. I still want to have a measure of control of what happens after this. Because if I completely repent and I completely say, Lord, whatever you say goes, that means I have to relinquish control completely, and I don't know what's going to happen next. Are you with me this morning? So there's really a powerful place where we recognize that at the root of us struggling to change is pride, and at the root of us struggling to walk in the light is pride. So as we deal with that, this is the powerful place. He says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Another translation says that God goes to war against the proud. Guys, let that sink in for a moment. If there's one person you don't want to go to war against, it's the King of the universe. Amen? God goes to war against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is good news, guys, okay? So there's a place when we humble ourselves, and say, God, I repent of my pride. I need you to give me grace so that I can walk in a lifestyle of repentance, so that I can walk in the light, so that you can take off the burdens that I'm carrying. This week I spoke to a friend about a difficult situation. He heard about somebody that he knows that hasn't been paying taxes. But not for a while, and then I think a family member of theirs hasn't been paying taxes like forever, like, and they're already a bit older, you know. And it's a bit of a difficult situation, you know. How do you approach it? Do you actually go and speak to the people? How do you do it? And I had a chat with Philip about it as well, and it's really interesting because it's as if we get stuck in the technicalities of the tax and how does it, what is SARS going to do, you know, what is the implication going to be. But we came to the conclusion that the first and most important thing is that they were sinning against God. And maybe there's jail time on earth and there's penalties on earth, but the most important thing to consider in a situation like that is that if I'm sinning against God, am I deliberately sinning against God, then my eternal salvation is at stake. Not just my, maybe some retribution that I have to face on the earth, that my eternal salvation is at stake if I'm continuing in deliberate sin against God. Are you with me this morning? So there's a place of, and specifically in a situation like this, is typically guys that are saved, born again, blessed believers, but somehow have managed to convince themselves that this is okay. This is fine for me to ignore the laws of the land. Meantime, I'm actually sinning against God. Okay, I don't want to go into that, but maybe that's for somebody this morning. Okay, praise the Lord. Come chat to me afterwards. Anyways, so there's that pride is the key that we want to look out for. Something Philip also mentioned really struck me. He's reading this or listening to this audiobook about this. He says that the person said that for us to be able to come to a place of true repentance, we need to be more intimate with God than we are with our sin. And that really struck a chord as I was busy preparing with this, and just the place where we sometimes so intimate with something that we've been walking with for so long that it almost becomes part of us. And the enemy would like us to think this is part of who we are. It's such an intimate thing, so close. It's such a part of our daily life. It's such a part of who we are. The enemy almost wants to convince us this is just who you are, that you're never going to change. But we need to walk away from that deception and say, Lord, I want to draw near to you. And this is why it's such precious for me that the picture of the shepherd, because it's such an intimate picture. Time of refreshing with God is so intimate, and repentance is also intimate because it's a vulnerability there. It's where I come face to face with my Savior and I say, Lord, I want to lay down this thing. I repent. And I need you to wash me clean. I need you to restore me. And I need you to refresh me. Are you with me this morning? Amen. He gives grace. Let's go back to Romans for a moment, please. Great stuff. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So even as we're talking about this whole picture, it's again, it's the shepherd, right? The shepherd that knows this little sheep of mine, this son, this daughter of mine, has to walk through this place of repentance so that they can come to a place of freedom, so that they come to a place of refreshing and restoration. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I've seen this in my own life, guys. It's when you recognize that when I'm at my absolute worst, when I'm absolutely faithless, he remains faithful. When I'm in the deepest pit of despair, or when I'm in a cycle of a destruction of some kind, his goodness and love towards me does not change. Have you experienced that? Where you realize, when that conviction comes, Lord, that you are so good. Even when I am at my worst, you are so good. I love you, Lord. I need to sort this out. Just help me. Meet me here where I'm at. That place where his goodness and his love just brings us to a place where we want to change. We want to be more like him. We don't want to remain in that place. We recognize his goodness. It's that place of, you know, the story of the prodigal son, where he finds himself amongst the pigs and he recognizes that the goodness of his father at home, where there's enough food. Everybody, there's an abundance. There's so much there with his father, and he sits there and he looks and he recognizes where he's at, and he decides, even if I have to be a slave, I want to go back. I need to go back there. I can't remain here. Are you with me this morning? It's a place where that goodness and that just who God is brings us to a place where we say, Lord, I don't want to stay where I am. I need you. I need you. Forgive me, and I repent of what I've been doing, and I choose to go with where you're taking me. Amen. Okay. Another thing that came up this weekend in terms of just in conversation or in terms of when we were praying as well was how even amongst charismatic circles, and even amongst maybe specifically people like me that have come from a very, very strict, a very conservative church background, and have kind of walked a road as God has taken me through various churches, etc. But it seems that there's a place where people have come from that kind of, you know, bondage to fear. In my case, it was that. You know, the Lord's scripture says that I've not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I've given you a spirit of adoption by which you cry out, Abba, Father. And I came from that place trying to serve God, trying to serve a set of rules out of fear, And then coming to God delivering me out of that to a place where I can serve Him as a son and follow Him as a son. And it seems that what happens sometimes, coming out of that bondage of fear and lots of religion, lots of rules, lots of very strict stuff and kind of almost traditions, that people come to a place where the pendulum almost goes all the way to the other side, where they are so free that they lose a fear of God and they lose a value. We lose a value of what God values. And with the context that we were speaking about was specifically around church. Now, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you're all here this morning, but it's amazing how Christians come to a place where they say, no, you know what? I'm so free in the Lord. I go mountain biking on a Sunday morning because there I can really connect with God. And this is my time where I'm really at peace with God. And I feel I don't have to go to church for that. I can go and do my thing on my mountain bike or with my fishing rod or whatever it is. Because I've found that freedom in the Lord. And it sounds amazing, doesn't it? It sounds spiritual. It sounds very blessed. But it's as if the pendulum has gone all the way to the other side, where now this person is enjoying their freedom to such an extent that they're no longer following Jesus. Because you cannot have a relationship with the head and not the body. Are you with me this morning? Now, obviously you are with me because you're here. But it's funny because people think that I can relate to Christ on his own. I can relate to Jesus. I have a very cool, deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. I want nothing to do with his body. Have you had that before? Have you seen that? And it's such a danger because there's a deception that I can, on my own thing, on my own terms, I can relate to Christ, but I can actually reject his body and his bride, and I think I can get away with it. But God does not work like that. Amen. So if you know somebody like that, please pray for them. But beware of that freedom to a point of where we no longer value what God values, where we no longer actually operate in a healthy fear of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. As we close, okay, next one. Thanks. Okay. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the picture that I had when God laid this on my heart, the place where he wants to unburden us. He wants us to walk free. You know, if I see my son, he's actually very funny, David. When he's disappointed about something, he just goes, look at this. Literally. And I mean, nobody's told him if you're disappointed, you must hang your shoulder. He just goes like this and he walks, he makes his lip all like this. And it's hilarious. You know, you have to really be careful not to laugh. But, and he tries to portray, you know, his disappointment and his sadness. But I had this picture of us of God's children weighed down, burdened, struggling, wrestling with stuff from the past, wrestling with sin, wrestling with stuff from our past. And him saying, my son, my daughter, I want to bring you to a place of refreshing. I want to bring you to a place of where you are unburdened, when you can lay your cares, as scripture says, cast your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. Where you can lay down all these yokes that are not of me, all these sins. And he says, yeah, the sin... Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. So my question is this morning, are you ready to run? Are you kind of wrestling through life? Are you pushing? Are you pulling a lot of stuff behind you? Or are you throwing off the weights? Are you and I casting aside every weight and every sin so that we can run with him? So that we can run with endurance the race that he set before, so we can run in step with the Holy Spirit. The least thing, you know, have you ever done resistance training where you, in rugby, we used to pull like tires behind us and stuff like that, or put weights on their ankles, on their arms. No, you haven't done that. I promise you, people do this. Or even in sprinting, a little parachute. It's very interesting. Anyways, the point of that, if you're training with that, everything goes slower. And when you really want to move, or you really want to avoid something, or you want to take a gap, and if you've been weighed down by something, you just can't take the gap you want to take. And I felt this in the spirit for us. I don't want to be the place when God opens a door, and I'm so weighed down by sin, and I'm so weighed down by all these things that ensnare that I can't take the door that God opens. Are you with me this morning? And I can't respond. Maybe a door of an opening to minister to somebody that needs salvation, or maybe a door of opportunity for my family. I don't want to be so weighed down that I'm seeing the door opening and I'm recognizing an opportunity, but I'm so entangled that I can't respond to the call of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.